Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests on the Goodyear Hotline. It's supposed to snow this time of year, Key. Credit to 98 Rock for those calls. Two guys who will always be connected in the NFL, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. We're asking you on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Key, Jay, and Max, who is more likely to make it back to the Super Bowl, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, neither or both? Now understand, this is the great debate of the 21st century. There are two of them. One is Jordan or LeBron? Two, answers Jordan. Two, is it more Belichick or Brady? And Brady jumped out to a big early lead because year one, this dude didn't make it there, didn't make a run. Joe Montana got to the AFC Championship game when he left. Won the Super Bowl year one, same year Belichick 7-9. Well, two plays away from 9-7, I mean 7-9. But whoa, is Belichick coming on strong now? So, Key, who has a better shot to make the Super Bowl, Brady or Belichick, this year?
I feel like the New England Patriots have a better shot. So when you look at what they're doing, they're playing defense, what Belichick wants to do. They got a young quarterback that's not making the mistakes, but doing the things that they're asking him to do, and he's doing it extremely well. Now look at the teams that they may have to go through. Okay, they're gonna have to go through a Kansas City team. Belichick ain't worried about Andy Reid. He done beat Andy Reid many times. So, and Patrick Mahomes, he's beaten before. So, not worried about that. Tennessee Titans, nah, not worried about that. Okay? The Bengals, yeah, not worried about that.
Clearly not Tennessee after yesterday.
The Ravens' offense is such stagnant at times. They can't throw the ball. There's so no strong running game like they used to have in the past. Their secondary is not as strong as it used to be. They're not as good on defense as they used to be. So, when you start to look at who they got to go through, I mean, it's like,
yeah, it's not the NFC, Key, right?
It's not the NFC.
Yeah.
It's not the NFC. So it's like,
So I would, has a rookie quarterback ever won the Super Bowl?
Never even been to the Super Bowl.
Okay. And I know the case that Tom Brady, when he won it, you know, was his first year really playing, but still that year being on the sideline, learning, I think there's huge benefits to that. So I'm going to go with the numbers in this one and go with the guy who has 7 Super Bowl rings, go with the coach that last year just won a Super Bowl, a team that signed back a ton of different pieces. I know there's injuries there, but it's not where you start the season or where you are midseason. It's how you finish the season. And just watching the way that defense played yesterday, watching the way Leonard Fournette ran down the stretch, I'm going to go with Tom Brady more so than the hot team that everybody's talking about right now. I still, like I said before, I still want to see how Mac Jones handles things and that pressure down the stretch in the NFL. It's one thing to do it while you're in college. There's a different amount of weight and pressure on you when you play for the greatest coach of all time, and this is your first postseason that we're going into where people are talking about you being a Super Bowl contender if that conversation starts, which it has.
What about that, Key? Mac Jones is, I hear the NFC point, I think it's a good one, and I will reveal who I think is more likely to go in a minute, but I think it's a good one. But Jay brings up a good point. No rookie quarterback has ever even taken a team to the Super Bowl, and the year, the benefit you get of that year holding the clipboard, going to practice, being in the pros, traveling, getting coached up, you know, that means something. So Brady, you can say, well, Brady, basically the first time he played, same thing with Mahomes, when Mahomes got there, almost got there, Brady won, but it's not the same. Mac Jones is a rookie. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, what I would say is it is the same because Tom Brady didn't play. Just because you're in the room doesn't mean anything. Mac Jones went to the University of Alabama, played for Nick Saban. Very mirror image of the New England Patriots and what they do, organizationally-wise. Mm-hmm. When you talk about rookie quarterbacks going to a Super Bowl, rookie quarterbacks don't have coaches like Bill Belichick in teams like that. They go to teams like the New York Jets. New York Jets ain't going no damn Super Bowl. If Zach Wilson was on the New England Patriots, they'd probably be in the same position they're in now.
This is an interesting point.
Because they have a coach who knows what he's doing, and he comes from a program that is a mirror image of the New England Patriots. So, therefore, it's like a minor league system. All the players that come from Alabama to New England, whether they're first rounders, free agents, undrafted guys, they fall in line and usually do pretty well under Bill Belichick. Because, again, Nick Saban's program is a mirror image of the New England Patriots. That's all it is. So he comes in hitting the ground running with no problem at all. Remember what I said. No rookie quarterback has had this. If Bill Belichick, if
and Bill Belichick, by the way, just spent like $200 million in free agency on top of that.
If Bill Belichick, if Peyton Manning came out last year or this past draft and he was a rookie, the New England Patriots would be in the same position they're in now because they know what to do with the quarterback. That's the important thing, is knowing what to do with a guy. In every little week, you take one lug nut off the training wheel. You know, there's training wheel, so you take one screw off. Next week, you take another screw. And eventually, the wheels will fall off. And that's what happened to Tom Brady. As he got older, the wheels fell off, and he became Tom Brady.
But see, Key, I don't feel like it's exactly the same. It's spending a year playing in the NFL or playing in the NBA, even if you don't play, understanding what that coach's expectations are, understanding the playbook inside and out, having rapport with your other players. You know, we heard some of the players say, hey, look, a lot of the Patriot players have to pick him up. Like there's a – and I'm not saying that didn't exist with Tom Brady in his second year, but having that familiarity about being a pro, being around pros, expectations of your coach, because there are slight differences between Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, right? There are. So I still think, especially when you get into postseason play, like that's where you find out a lot of things. Like, okay, first year, you may not play, but you're still going through and seeing what that pressure feels like and what prep goes into going into postseason play. And my thing is, Mac Jones hasn't done that yet. I just want to see how he handles that before I'm willing to say, hey, this team is just the same as Tom Brady.
It's interesting because
Tom Brady didn't do that either.
It's interesting.
But he still went through the year of being there, sitting in the you know, quarterback room, going through scouting report, going through all that. That still says something, though.
But Alabama, again, Alabama is a mirror image of the New England Patriots. It is a pro organization on a college level.
Listen, I think that's a really good point. In other words, eventually you figure a rookie quarterback will win the Super Bowl. That's like everything happens eventually, like sports records are broken and stuff. And so I think Key's point is like if that's eventually going to happen, then you have to look at the situation. And he's right. This is unique, the way this situation is unfolding. But in the end, I still think it's Brady and the Bucks for this reason, guys. They have a great – I think they have the best roster in the NFL. And that mistake-free football I'm talking about, that do-no-harm football, right? Like, first, do-no-harm, the Hippocratic Oath doctors have to take, right? Is like, don't make things worse. Don't mess things up. It's the Floyd Mayweather school of boxing. I'm going to make fewer mistakes than you, so I'm going to win. That's what they're doing with Mac Jones in New England. But, guys, Tom Brady mastered that technique over 20 years with Belichick, and now even though he's in the tougher conference, he's so like loaded, he's so crewed up that sometimes it's like, oh, AB and Godwin aren't going to be there. It's all right, I'll throw it to Evans and Gronk. You know, oh, Brate's not going to be there. I got OJ Howard. He's got Leonard Fournette. He's got so much on both sides of the ball. I think they have a better shot. He's just loaded.
And now for the Pats, you got the Bills twice. You got at Colts. Like, let's see what we'll be talking about then.
Could you imagine if they meet in the Super Bowl? Brady and Belichick meet in the Super Bowl. Key, I'm going to put so much yeast on that, you have no idea.
I'm sure you will on Justin and all the other
shows. That's right. Oh, we're going to yeast that one up good. Let it rise. Let the bread rise. All right. Key said earlier the Rams might have buyer's remorse regarding Matt Stafford.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Credit to 620 WTMJ for the call. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio. The ESPN app, ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. Like, whoa. Dan Orlovsky breaking down video with a telestrator. It's like, whoa.
Tell him, Black Rob.
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN football analyst, joins us in the studio giving the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. What's up, Dan? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was good, man. Didn't eat turkey because I'm against it on Thanksgiving Day, but ate a lot. And
you're against, sorry, turkey on Thanksgiving?
It's a waste of belly space. If I want turkey, I'll go to Jersey Mike's.
But there's a day where we sell what's the traditional food on Thanksgiving.
What? Yeah, Max, you're a guy who kind of you're a follower. I'm a leader.
I'm a follower. Yes, I do everything by the book.
Okay,
it's true.
I see you coming in off the track, Dan. You just coming in just blazing on him. You're a follower
no turkey.
And everything.
I'm you know what? I'm done with the turkey slander.
So you never gained a pound. That's your body frame. Tell me that's true.
I used to have to eat to try to keep weight on. Yeah. So I guess
yes.
But I still eat relatively.
You don't
fair.
Eat. What are you talking about? Tell people what you eat before whatever it is dinner.
I usually just have like a Quest protein bar.
Before dinner?
Well, for the day, yeah. I eat big dinners, but during the day I don't eat much food, no.
Why?
He has a, hold up.
Just a Quest bar?
Key, yeah. A Quest protein bar
chip,
until
bar.
Dinner.
Mint chocolate chip. You can tell that really excites you.
That's because he wanna stay looking right. In terms of looking right, Dan, your guy and my guy, Matthew Stafford, wasn't looking right at all over the last several games. Yeah. If, in fact, the Rams don't get to the Super Bowl, do you think they look back at this thing and go, buyer's remorse to some degree based on what they paid to get him?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they came into the season with the most pressure as far organizationally and quarterback out of anybody in the NFL. And then the moves since the season has started has even added to that pressure. And the expectation is to go win the Super Bowl. There's no question about it. You know, watching that game yesterday, Matthew Stafford played good. He wasn't traded for to go play good. He was traded for to go play really, really good, to great. And that hasn't been the case the past 3 weeks. I think a couple things about them, Key, that are frustrating. Number one, you know, I'm a golf fan, and you often hear golfers talk about when they play in tournaments, you can't win the tournament on Thursday, but you can lose it. And if you've watched this football team, it makes me think of a golfer that's just losing games or losing the tournament on Thursday. Their past 3 weeks, they've lost the game really in the first quarter by kind of self-inflicted wounds. I think offensively, they still are hard-headed, and I love Sean. I love him. But the hard-headedness to not get under center and run the football more and play in that play-action game exposed. Like, if you go watch that game last night or yesterday afternoon, it's 7-0. They get into first down, they run the ball, and get 6 yards. They get into second four and then get into empty. And then all of a sudden, it's a sack fumble. Right? There's almost a ball game, it feels like. Like, what? Why are we doing that? We're making it so hard on ourselves. You know, the Packers basically said, we are going to dare one of the best run game guys in the NFL over the last 6 or 7 years, Sean McVay, to run the football, and he wouldn't. And that's really frustrating. I also think their defense is dumb and their defense is soft. Mm. I mean, that's just the truth.
Dumb and soft.
Twice yesterday, twice. Once on third and three and once on third and two. They take Jalen Ramsey and play him in man-to-man coverage against Josiah DeGuara. And lead Devontae Adams on somebody else in man coverage. What are we doing?
That's a good use of Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, remember, also on the switch route down the sideline when he was inside, they had him on somebody else.
Josiah DeGuara key.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah,
and it's man coverage.
That right there. That makes zero sense.
Right. How does it happen? Okay, try and make sense out of nonsense there. How?
I can't. I cannot. Like, it just.
That just escapes someone's attention?
Wait, no, I honestly, Max, I can't make sense of it because that is very situational as well. Again, third and three, third and two, you're playing man coverage. It should very much so be because they doubled Randall Cobb in those situations. Like, if you were going to tell me we were going to play Jalen on Randall Cobb
and then you have two guys, Devontae, right? The whole point of Jalen Ramsey, the reason you spend all that resources and money on him is for this, because you can put him on a guy, on an elite receiver,
absolutely,
and not sweat it.
Right. Well, they could have been at the same time, though, Dan, when you think about it, they could have been looking at it and saying he's out of his comfort zone when you put him inside. Now, Jalen's not a slot defender. He can do it, but that's not where his best is. His best has been on an island. So when you look at it from Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers' standpoint, being able to line Devontae up inside, knowing they're not going to move Jalen in with him on third down, let's do this. And the result was a big play down the left sideline. I forgot, though, when you talk about the defense, I forgot they passed on Joe Barry as a defensive coordinator twice, and now he's in Green Bay and got that defense playing well.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Their defense soft, man. They just give up so many easy completions. Like, all Green Bay did yesterday was call quick game, you know, three-step game, quick completions. They just continue to give them to you. You know, it was just – I think, you know, testament to Green Bay, I think their general manager needs an apology, certainly from me and then from a lot of people. The A.J. Dillon pick looks like Corey Dillon from the New England Patriots. Top three coach. Matt LaFleur is a top three coach in the NFL.
Three.
Top three.
So Belichick, who else?
Andy Reid.
Reid and LaFleur.
Absolutely.
Okay. Three? Let me think.
Harbaugh.
One, Mike Tomlin.
Three.
Okay. Y'all watching the Steelers right now?
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, okay. Yesterday they got a first-round quarterback.
Steelers are falling apart. As an organization, they are falling apart before our eyes.
I know they're falling apart. They're 500. That's the falling apart for them.
Let's talk about another coach in Kevin Stefanski, because we talk a lot about Baker Mayfield all the time, every day.
Yeah.
But you muster up 27 points in the last three games. When does that start to fall a little bit on the offense?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, first of all, the Browns are an absolute mess right now, and that mess is way bigger than just Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield's not playing great, but he is tough as nails. He is beat up. He should not be playing. No, I love the fact that he is. They got Jedrick Wills didn't play well last night. Their left tackle, he got physically beat up.
Dan, stop right there. He's beat up, right?
You don't
think he should be playing, but you feel good that he is, right? I get that, but isn't that the coach who needs to step in and say, look, man, we got a pretty good guy on the bench, and it's inspirational and everything, but you're not helping us.
There's a point. My two things would be this. If you're watching Baker Mayfield play the way he is over the last 3 or 4 weeks, and you don't believe Case Keenum isn't a better option given the injuries, why is Case Keenum on the team? Hmm. You know, if Case isn't a better option right now with the way that Baker is so physically limited and beat up, but then also if you watch the game, no one's getting real open, really. You know, like, it's not like Case is going to go help guys get open. No one is getting open. They actually ran the same play 3 times in a row last night. That, to me, is a little disturbing because that is not offensive play calling. And I'm such a fan of Kevin Stefanski, but that's not offensive play calling. That's not creativity. That's not rhythm. That's not a rhyme to what we're doing. There's a reason to what we're doing things. So, yeah, they're a mess offensively, and it is bigger than Baker Mayfield. I think they're getting predictable, and this offense has been unpredictable. And again, their two tackles, Conklin going out was a big deal. They got bigger issues than just, hey, our quarterback's not playing good.
Yeah. Don't you think having Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator, give like a new set of eyes handling the offense would probably stir up a little bit more momentum for a second?
Yeah, you always want a different vantage point, you know, and when your offensive line is as good as Cleveland's is, and again, they did not play well last night, you should be able to do more stuff. You know, their three tight end package used to be so good, and it's kind of limited right now. Their backs used to be so dynamic. It's kind of limited right now. You know, Jarvis Landry's not separating the way he did. People's, you know, again, I know we always like to point to like, oh, the quarterback stinks. You know, there's so many issues on their offense.
A hurt quarterback and a banged up line.
It's not the play calling at all. Kevin Stefanski's just doing a good job. I don't think that Alex Van Pelt is the answer at all. You know, you're going to get that in sports talk radio. You're going to get it from newspapers. You're going to get people saying Kevin Stefanski's lost his fastball. Like, we wasn't saying that 6 weeks ago. The guy was calling plays 6 weeks ago. He's doing fine. It's just much like you're saying, Dan, when your offensive tackles are banged up, when your running game is not working, 17 carries is what they have for 40 yards. Yeah. It's not working. They got away from that. Jarvis Landry's not separating. They haven't been able to get him going. So when you start to look at it, people, Jones can't get him going. Higgins can't get him going. They've got to go back and do some self-evaluating on what they're doing from an offensive standpoint. But taking a play calling out of Kevin Stefanski's hands is ridiculous.
No,
for
yeah,
they
I'm
also
not,
don't have a number one receiver, by the way.
This offense isn't like you always want a number one receiver. Again, number one is so dependent on the play call and the defense.
Yeah, but this offense is not predicated on ones.
Right. I mean, if you had one, you would, and then you could plug him in there. It's great. But this offense wants a multitude of options.
Yeah.
You know, again, this isn't just the play calling's not good. The quarterback's playing it. There is issue on top of issue on top of issue on top of issue in Cleveland. Now, it all centers around, Baker not playing consistently well in his injury. And that's why, you know, right now the issue is how do they get back in rhythm now? And then the question is going to be, goodness, what do they do at quarterback next year? Because the injuries, it has to play into the decision-making.
How impressed, or let me get your take on what you've seen from the Patriots, Bill Belichick, Mac Jones, and the whole team.
Yeah, I think simply put, the question is going to be, are the Patriots the best team? I don't care. They play the best.
In the AFC or in the football?
In football. They play the best. It's not who's the best team. It's what team plays the best. And that's right now it's New England. If you think about the last time we saw this team lose, it was Dallas. Dallas played their A game. To beat New England, you got to play your A game. I don't care who you are. You got to play your A game. I think they play a different style. And this is why I said back in August, I remember the moment when they said, we're moving on from Cam Newton, Mac Jones is going to be our starter. I said, this becomes automatically a top four team in the AFC because the style of football they were going to play. Also, their play action pass game is such a good horizontal stretch. They do such a good job in their play action game of allowing Mac to see horizontally the field, sideline to sideline, and creating these windows for him to throw in where it allows him, one, protection, and then, two, it allows his eyes to be a really big part of his game. When you're a smart quarterback, you allow your eyes to be kind of a foundational aspect of your game, and I think that's a big deal. They play with a fullback on the field in their run game. I think their defense is brilliant. Brilliant. Brilliant.
Dan,
they're so
smart.
You bring up,
you need to bring your A game. I just went and looked. They've lost one game this season. by more than one score, and that was to the Saints early on
right.
the road,
right.
right? Like, otherwise, they're losing games when they lose, even forget about the six straight wins, by one under one score.
Yeah, to good teams, too, right? They lost to Dallas. They lost to Tampa by one score. I forget who else.
It was 2 points to Tampa.
Yeah. You got to play your A game. And I would say this. I thought their defense yesterday was oddly average, but incredibly opportunistic. You know, again, you played good Tennessee offensively. Tennessee played better offensively than I thought, but it was like a C-plus performance because the red zone interception and the two punch-out fumbles. You know, other than that, they played good football, and you go, well, New England's defense wasn't dominant, but gosh, they were opportunistic. You know, and that's what I'm saying. To beat them, you are going to – now, I think this next month we figure out if they're contenders or – team to beat because they play Buffalo twice, Indy, and someone else really good as well. So we will find out a lot if they're contenders or the team to beat.
Dan, we got to let you go, but I want to ask you this question real quick, just simple, yes or no. Did they get it right at USC?
Yes, it's the biggest college football hire since Nick Saban.
Oh,
100%.
There you go.
That dude can recruit, and that dude can call plays.
To the champion, he gets to the playoff every year. You get to the playoff most years. That's what you can ask for.
I get to sit with college coaches and talk with them because I get to call college games.
I said real quick.
I'm so glad you're in LA. You get to sit with college coaches and you talk with them, and you could sometimes walk out and you go, that dude's different. Lincoln Riley. The first time I sat down and talked with him, I said, that guy's different.
You know what, Dan? You've earned your protein bar, the only thing you'll eat till dinner. Have that protein bar.
Got cookies and cream today, Jay Will.
One protein bar until dinner?
Cookies and cream.
I got chicken cheesy rice tonight. That's what my wife makes on Monday.
People are like, how do you stay so thin? That's how. That's the calorie deficit. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate it.
Good idea.
Dan Orlovsky, ESPN football analyst, everyone. Key Observations is brought to you by GEICO. Whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today. Key, take it away.
Number one.
First one, the Rams. Think about this. The Rams might miss the playoffs. Might, I'm saying. If you think about the San Francisco 49ers are one game behind the Rams in the division. One game. They've already beat them head-to-head back in November. I think it was November 15th. They hung 31 points on this Rams team. They won six straight against the Los Angeles Rams. If the Rams missed the playoffs, and you heard Dan Orlovsky say, they brought Matthew Stafford here to be great, not good. And so far, he's only been good.
Number two.
I expected Jalen Hurts to play a lot better than he did. He didn't play awful. He didn't play great. But I need more consistency out of him. Remember, we had these conversations about him being the answer for the Philadelphia Eagles or the long-term solution at quarterback as they hold potentially three first-round picks with no surefire quarterback coming out in this year's draft, but there are quarterbacks that may be on other teams, and those teams might want those first-round picks. So he's got to play better down the line.
Number three.
Well, number three, Tom Terrific Brady against the Indianapolis Colts. They left too much time on the clock again for him, but it wasn't about him. It was about Leonard Fournette. The guy getting it done on the ground, scoring touchdowns in every single way possible. It just so happened to be the Brady effect. Whatever team Brady is on, when a team leaves too much time, they wind up losing. The Indianapolis Colts certainly could have won this football game, but they wind up faltering in the end, and Tom Brady got out of Indianapolis with the W.
Number four.
If I'm Big Ben, I'm walking in, and I'm saying, man, I'm done. I can't play football anymore. It's time to start packing it up and just retire. I know. As soon as you say that, Ben's going to go out there and win a game or two or three. But it just did not look good for the Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday at all. They couldn't protect Ben. They couldn't get anything going on the offensive side of the ball. And we saw what Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and company and Joe Mixon did to the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was hard to watch.
Number five.
I talked about the Rams could miss the playoffs. The Cleveland Browns will miss the playoffs. That playoff spot within their division is going to go to the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. You got a banged-up quarterback who's forcing himself to play. I like the fact that he's playing. But is there truly a better option with Case Keenum long-term why Baker Mayfield gets healthy. I don't know. I can't answer that. They didn't run the ball well yesterday with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. They got to figure out how to get the defense going, how the receivers can separate. They got so many problems in Cleveland that they're going to miss the playoffs because they're not going to be able to fix them in time. They're going to run out of time. That's the key observations.
Those were key observations. Jay, do you have an observation that Key did not hit on?
I do. I just want to give a guy some love here because I was a fan of his when he was in college. Tua Tagovailoa. So, I mean, look, four-game winning streak. Coming into Sunday's game, they were going against a Carolina defense that yielded the fewest passing yards in the NFL in the 2021 season. So the fact that he threw for over 200-plus yards, 230 yards, highest completion percentage of his career, 27 for 31, one touchdown, no turnovers, compared to what he did last week, it seems like he's an asset that you are starting to see the Dolphins say, maybe we should start building around Tua. Maybe he is something special here.
What about that Key? And by the way, Jalen Waddle, you're seeing like now that's really starting to pay dividends. Key, I went back and looked at Drew Brees, right? First year, he doesn't play. Second year, he's no good. Third year, he's good, but he winds up getting bent. Like he wasn't balling out till like year three or four. They finally offer him a contract, not at the top of the market, because he also had injury concerns. Then he becomes a Hall of Famer in a dome, you know, with a great coach, etc. Aren't we so microwave nowadays? We want the results right now. We don't give these dudes a chance. I think we've kind of I've seen enough of Tua. Now, all of a sudden, after the last couple of weeks, do you think Tua can be a franchise quarterback?
No, I don't. I think he's a good quarterback for what they're doing right now. He may be the third or the fourth best quarterback in the division. That's not going to win you the division. Mac Jones is in a great situation in New England. We know what Josh Allen is. We're still kind of waiting with Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson make a few plays here or there. But he could potentially be the third or the fourth guy. They were flirting with Deshaun Watson. Not me, them. So that tells me they don't feel the same way you might feel about their quarterback.
Yeah, I don't feel about him that way yet. I'm just saying, like, I see a little flicker of light, you know, and I just feel like it's catastrophic injury. He comes, then he's a rookie off a catastrophic injury, gets starts. Now it's his second year. Key, what you always say, he's following that path. He's like, and following it under less than ideal circumstances. He's following the path that you lay out. Got to put your arms around him. Don't ask him to do too much. By year two, you want to see this. By year three, you want to see that. Like, he hasn't, to me, fallen off that plan yet. I'm not saying he turns out to be Drew Brees. I'm saying, I believe in your plan, Key. That's the way when I was growing up watching football, it was supposed to be done. And I'm just saying he's not off that yet.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, ESPN2. Paul Feinbaum joins us via the Goodyear Hotline. Lots to talk about. College football's heating up, and fans are hyped. Crack open an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, slap on a fresh coat of face paint, and return to glory with an all-new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
Paulie, you were trending on Saturday.
Seen that. Seen
you
it.
You were trending on Saturday, Paulie. I saw it.
Hey, before we get... Yeah. Paul, before we get to your trending, and I want you to hear what Dan Orlovsky just told us about the SC hiring of Lincoln Riley, and then I want your reaction. This is hot off the press, Paul.
It's the biggest college football hire since Nick Saban. You get to sit with college coaches and you talk with them, and you could sometimes walk out and you go, that dude's different. Lincoln Riley, the first time I sat down and talked with him, I said, that guy's different.
Paul?
Well, Lincoln Riley is a phenomenal coach. However, Dan is wrong. And he's wrong for this reason. When Ohio State hired Urban Meyer in 2012, he was easily, at the time, the second-best coach in college football behind Nick Saban. He had won two national championships. And what did he do at Ohio State? He went 83-9, finishing the top 10 all 7 years, and won a national championship. I think he's close. I don't think there's any disputing that this is one of the best hires in recent memory. Lincoln Riley has gone to the playoffs several times. He has produced great players, top picks, Heisman Trophy winners. And I do think this. I think he'll win a national championship at Southern Cal. And I don't know if there's anyone else out there you can say that about. So this is a fantastic hire, a home run hire, as good as you can get. But come on, Dan, let's not get carried away.
Let's not forget Urban Meyer and some of the great coaches. It's just not just like Saban. And then there's some levels to
as
Meek Mill said.
And apologize for Dan. He forgot. That's all. Yeah, he was excited. He forgot that Urban Meyer went in to Ohio State.
Big deal.
Yeah, it's not a big deal at all. Let me ask you this, though, Paul, because you would know this. Did Oklahoma going to the SEC play a part at all in that decision-making as to, you know what, I have an easier path out of the Pac-12 to get a bid than Oklahoma in the SEC going up against LSU's, Florida's, you know, Ole Miss now with Lane, and Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee?
Keyshawn, a lot of my friends down south are suggesting that. I don't subscribe to that. I think Lincoln Riley is a good enough coach where he could win in the SEC, he could win in the Pac-12. He is at that level. He's elite. I do think it's easier, though, and quite frankly, after several years in Oklahoma, he has gone to the playoffs three times. He has gotten there, but he's just seemed like they were incapable of getting over the hump, meaning get a good enough defense that they could hang with an LSU or a Georgia or an Alabama, the three schools that they've lost to in the playoffs. And I just think he was looking for something else. We all know he's flirted with the NFL, and I just think Southern Cal is so attractive. This certainly isn't a knock on where he was, because it's one of the premier college football programs of all time, but so is Southern Cal. And Southern Cal, quite frankly, ranks a little bit higher than Oklahoma on the college football food chain. Not by much, but by that much.
So, Paul, who do you think, as Oklahoma goes into the SEC, who do you think is best suited for that job opportunity to take the Sooners there?
Well, that's really a precarious jump here, Jay Will, because they have to get it right. I mean, this is a school, not to go historical lesson here, but Oklahoma doesn't make football changes very often. Bob Stoops was hired I think in around the 98-99 period, he won a national championship, and then Lincoln took over and has done quite well. So you have to be careful. The pool is not very large right now, and a bunch of names are being thrown up there. I'd be hesitant to jump on one. It was funny. Somebody suggested Mark Stoops, Bob's brother. He's a very good coach. He's at Kentucky right now, and he's up for many. His name's been linked to many jobs. But I do think the reason I brought that up is I think Bob Stoops will play a role here. He's going to be the interim coach in the bowl game. He still carries tremendous influence. I know some are suggesting, why doesn't Bob come back? I doubt that will happen, but you don't know after sitting around for a couple of years. I know he dabbled in pro football in that league that folded, but I think Joe Castiglione, who's one of the best athletic directors in the country, has to be thinking, okay, this guy is about to dive into the SEC. We just can't pluck somebody out of the yellow pages.
Now let's move to another conference in another situation, one that you've been heavily involved in the Michigan Wolverines and Harbaugh and that whole situation. So even you would have to be impressed with Michigan's, I would call it, upset victory over the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Keyshawn, I thought it was unbelievable. And yes, I mean, my jousting with Jim Harbaugh has gone back and forth for many years. But I was genuinely happy for him on Saturday for this reason. Everyone has counted him out, and I'm certain I'm certainly leading that parade. But yeah, he did the unthinkable. He beat the team that a lot of us didn't think he could ever beat. He did it in convincing fashion. And the scene after that game is one of the greatest I have ever seen in college football history. And all the credit should go to him and his staff and that football team for doing it. And in the process, they knock Ohio State out of the playoffs, which is amazing considering a week ago we all thought Ohio State may look like the best contender to beat Georgia.
Thank you, Paul. We're up against it. Always great hearing from you. The great Paul Feinbaum, ladies and gentlemen. Two wins in New York yesterday, but how much do they matter? We'll answer that next. KJM on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.